We're going to continue on with our study here that we started on the scriptures here, and we might get through it here. We'll see how far we get. But if we don't, then maybe I'll save the last bit of it, some of it for next week, and we'll add to it the lessons that I wanted to give you from read a little bit from William Grady's book here that has some good stuff in it. So, well, because it's all a part of it. It's all kind of the same understanding of it. So it's good to go through the scriptures. And then I think his insights on that particular topic of inspiration are very profitable. So if you haven't read Final Authority, it's a very good book. It's a lot to wade through. But this one also is very good, given by inspiration. It's very good. And I've got a little bit more to go, but not a whole lot. Yep, same author, given by inspiration. It's very good. I mean, I think it's better than the first one, to be honest with you, in my opinion. I think it's better than, Paul, I do. I think it's better than his first one, probably. But maybe that's just because you learn more and you grow and stuff. But, you know, in that learning, I think it's very good, both of them are. The first one is very laborious to get through. There's a lot there. You know what I mean? But there's a lot. But it's good. It's good information. But this one here, he really gets down to the issue. And he teaches you some extra things that I think, you know, from being in the ministry and believing God's word for, you know, 40 years of his life, he's got a lot to share with people. So, you know, and I appreciate some of the things that he teaches in that. Most of the things are just good to learn. You'll grow from them. They're very profitable. So anyway, let's pray, and then we'll get into the scriptures here. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for bringing us together, Lord. We're so unworthy of your grace. But Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we look around the room, Lord, and we're blessed by all that you've done for us, the families that you've brought together, and our children, our homes, Lord, our church, and salvation through Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God, having it, knowing we have it, Lord, and preaching it, and trying to live by it every day of our lives. And Lord, we thank you for your bountiful provision for us and your care for us, be it physically or spiritually, emotionally, and financially, Lord. In every area of our lives, you fill us, and you take care of us, Lord, and we're thankful for it. And Lord, thank you for this church, and thank you for the godly men that are here that love the Lord, that stand firm in the faith. And Lord, thank you for the godly women here that serve you, and they're faithful to you. From the single ladies and the young ladies, all the way up to the wives and mothers, and grandmothers, and those that are standing firm in the faith, loving their children and their husbands and their children and their families and their grandchildren, Lord. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the godly heritage that we can pass on, Lord. And please help us to stick by the stuff, Lord. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. John chapter 20 and verse number 8, and we've kind of got into Acts, but we'll finish with John 20 here, and we're just right at Acts here too as well. But John chapter 20, verse number 8, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse number 16, again, everything, you'll notice that everything that they're doing, from Jesus to the apostles now, which we're starting, and then also you're going to get into the apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles, all right, and to the churches. He's the one that gave the further revelation to the churches. And who did he get that inspiration from? Right, he got that from Jesus himself, didn't he? So, as one born out of what? Due time. That's what he said. So, Acts 1:16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Now you look at what he says here. That's a man being inspired, right? It says here, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. So God the Holy Ghost used the mouth of David to speak concerning and to prophesy concerning Judas. Right? On his own, David didn't know that Judas was going to do that. But what happened? He was inspired by God to write that. He spake it, and then it was recorded. It was written. Right? And we have it. You have it today. That's God's promise. That's what he gave us. That's inspiration right there. This is a man that's inspired. And I don't have to worry about believing this scripture, because then I have to believe every babbling fool out there that says they're inspired of God and their word is authority, like that of the old nasty fool in Rome, the Pope, that sits on Lucifer's throne. And why is that? Because God made sure I understood what inspiration is, and then he put a seal on his book at the end so no man could add to it. So if any man speaks counterwise, and any man writes counterwise, or any man tries to produce something they call scripture that is a counterfeit, I know it because it doesn't line up with this book. Do you see that? So I don't have to discount what God's already done through his men. I don't have to discount inspiration. I don't have to discount any of those things, do I? No, I just have to believe what God said in his word about them.
Right.
And God already put the seal on his book. God did that. Right? So we can trust the Lord. Acts chapter 8, verse number 30. Acts chapter 8, verse number 30. This is some good stuff here. And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Look at this. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, what is that scripture? Yeah, that's right. And it's the Old Testament, isn't it? That's what it is. It's the Old Testament scriptures. And that's what they had. So what did they preach at the time? Philip, the eunuch, has the Old Testament scriptures, right? What God calls the scriptures. And he preached to them. He preached to him Jesus out of the Old Testament. Yeah, you can do the same thing. But now you have the New Testament. Praise the Lord, right? We have it. But you can preach it. You can preach Jesus out of the Old Testament. He's everywhere in there. Amen. The eunuch was reading a copy of a copy. But guess what? It was inspired.
Amen.
And it wasn't an original, was it? You know, you don't impress me when you tell me that the scriptures were inspired in the original autographs. We already know that.
Right.
Tell me what God is doing now.
Right?
Tell me what God has wrought. Tell me what God has done. Tell me that you believe that this book is inspired, that these are the scriptures, and that they're inspired. That means more to me than that. Why? Well, because I'm never going to see on this earth an original autograph. So what good is that going to do me? In that sense, it won't do me much good. What does me good is that the promise of God has been fulfilled, and I have the scriptures right in front of me. And they are inspired, and they are perfect. And they are infallible. And they are where you go for help, and for encouragement, and for edification. They are where you go for everything in this life. Better believe that, amen? By the way, that's tested. That'll be tested in your life, whether you believe it or not. Because there's going to come a time when no man or anyone else can comfort you and can give you what you need. And God's going to bring you to a place where you go to this book right here. And God uses this book right here to strengthen you when you need it, and no man, no other man can comfort you. If you're starting to go to other places like that for comfort, you're wrong. You need to go and let God, when no man can comfort you, it's because God wants to comfort you with His Word. That's how He comforts, is with His Word. And this Word that that we're preaching to you today. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 2. I like this. By the way, this better be your manner too as well. The same thing that Paul does. This better be the same thing. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. It better be that you reason with men out of the Scriptures. All right, now, I'm gonna tip over some sacred cows here and some other things with people. You and I better make sure we're reasoning with men from this and not from our own understanding and our own brains, or how I'm gonna prove that Noah's Ark is over there on Mount Sinai, or how I'm gonna prove I'm gonna prove creation by building an ark, or I'm gonna do anything. You know what? You know how men get saved? You reason with them out of the Scriptures. That's what Paul's manner was. That's what he did. He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Don't reason with them with men's philosophy. Don't reason with them on those levels. You reason with them with the Scriptures. That's what you do. This is the power of God unto salvation. That's what Paul did. You're never going to win people by tickling their intellect. You won't. All it does is bolster their egos. Like, well, you're everything, like that guy said to me last week. Everything, what do? Just throw the book at your kids? Is that what you do? Is that what you do, is just throw the book at them? That's what you do? How do you raise them? I said I raise them with the Scriptures. That's how I raise them. I teach them the Bible. Oh, so you just teach them a book. And he said he was a Christian. And I told him, no, you're not. Because nobody that's a Christian speaks about God's Word like that. Nobody treats God's Word like that. You know why? Because the gospel comes from this book right here. And the Scriptures are what God's people live on. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So don't tell me you love God when you hate His Word. And you tell me you're a Christian, I don't believe a bit of it. I don't know who you think you're fooling, but you ain't fooling me, and you sure ain't fooling God. If you don't care what this book says, you ain't a Christian, period. That's just the truth. You're not even saved. Because you don't care what God's Word says, period. You don't care. When you talk like that, you don't care what God's Word says. And that's the way he was. But what did Paul do? Paul reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And what did he have? He had the Old Testament. So he went to those Jews, and what did he do? By the way, isn't that something? Paul led thousands of people to Christ over the years with the Old Testament. Peter took the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament Scriptures, and preached Jesus unto them. You and I have the New Testament. We have the completed revelation. We have all of it. We have all of it. Everything that God wanted me to have, I have today, right here in this King James Bible. Every word. That's a strong statement. Sure is, and I believe it. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. You want to know how you're going to prove Christ? You're not going to do it through history. You're going to do it through the Bible. You're going to do it through the Scriptures. Why? Because this book is the power of God. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Men get saved because of the words of God being preached to them, the Holy Ghost of God convicting their hearts, showing them their need for Christ, reproving them of their sin and unrighteousness and wickedness, showing them that they are dead in trespasses and sins and they are guilty before God. That's the Word of God that does that. That's why we preach Jesus, right? We don't preach Roman Catholicism. We don't preach a system. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Amen. That's the power of God unto salvation. That's why men get saved, because the gospel is preached, because Jesus Christ is Lord. And Paul took the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, and he showed them plainly, opening and alleging. Very plainly. By the way, Paul never saw an original in his life. From the Old Testament, that is. He wrote a few, didn't he? But Paul reasoned with them out of the scriptures. He didn't reason with philosophies of men or systems of men or psychologists like Jordan Peterson. Isn't it wonderful? Everybody's going gaga over Jordan Peterson. Some psychologist that's running around and he's teaching people the Bible and they're dumb enough to listen to him. Boy, you got to be dumber than a box of rocks to take some guy that's a psychologist and you're going to have him teach you the Bible and he ain't even got the Holy Ghost. He ain't saved and he don't know what the Bible is anyway. And you're going to have him teaching you. Oh, I'm going to teach you about Moses. Oh, great. I want to hear you teach me about Moses. You lost little reprobate. You're going to teach me about Moses. Great. You ain't even saved. You don't even believe Jesus is Lord. You ain't submitted to the Lord. You haven't bowed the knee to Christ. Forgive me if I'm not awestruck by your knowledge.
Right.
Right? You're not bringing me the scriptures. You're some psychologist that's given me a bunch of mental gymnastics and everything else that you're doing to come up with your conclusions about Jesus and about, I don't care what you say about, look, if I stood up to you every day and I stood up here every Sunday and I preached to you some psychology mixed with that, you wouldn't care what I said either, and you shouldn't. You better be preaching the book.
Amen.
Not some psychologist trying to tell you what they believe about God's Word. We don't care. Give us Jesus. Tell us what the book says. Not what you think the Bible says. Not what some educated man that's working with a lost Jew through, what's his name, Ben Shapiro? Yeah. He works with that guy. The guy that sounds like he's sucking on helium all the time when he talks to you. That guy. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, isn't that nice? Genesis is allegorical, Roman Catholicism, Kabbalistic teaching, that's all it is. But Christians are flocking and supporting those people. So, Christians, I mean, professing Christians, I should say. Real ones should be wise enough to see that there's nothing there, right? Acts chapter 7, what's that? Right, all they have to say is Jesus. But by the way, Paul knew that what he had was inspired scripture, didn't he? Acts chapter 17, verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You'll notice some things. Number one, they were more noble. These Bereans, they were more noble. Number two, they received the word. Number three, with all readiness of mind. So they accepted it with all readiness of mind. Number four, they searched the scriptures daily. So with all those things, they're ready to receive the truth and everything else. They received the word. They had readiness of mind. They were paying attention. They wanted to learn. And then lastly, they searched the scriptures daily. So they checked it out. They searched. You and I should be searching the scriptures daily, right? You should be searching the scriptures for what is true and what is not. And they had the inspired word of God, and they had to have it, otherwise they couldn't search the scriptures daily. They had to have it, just like you have to have it. How could you obey the commands and be like the noble Bereans if you don't have them? Amen. Boy, you could make a really good excuse to God, couldn't you, right now? Well, God, I don't even have the Bible. I mean, you know, I don't, my book's not inspired. You know what? These guys that don't believe in inspired, perfect, infallible Word of God, these guys, they give a lot of excuse to people not to follow it, don't they? Because, I mean, what are they saying? Yeah, I don't know Greek. I don't know Hebrew. And since there's errors in the King James Bible, since there's errors in it, well, how do I know? I mean, James White. He's the perfect apologist for atheism. Why would he be that? Well, because, I mean, James is still looking for what the Word of God is. He said it when Ted Alexander got into a spat with him over the King James Bible issue. Ted went against him with that James White and when James White wrote his book, he used the NIV. And then later, James Wright says, well, I don't even use the NIV. I'm not trying to trick people out of the King. Because Ted said, all you're trying to do is get the King James Bible out of people's hands. And you want to put an NIV in their hands. And then years later, and this is what he said to Ted Alexander. He said, Brother Ted, he said, well, no, because he goes, that's not true. That's a lie. He said, because now I use the ESV. The NIV was just popular back then, but now I use the ESV. So James White just uses whatever's popular. Whatever people like. He doesn't care if it's the Word of God or not. He doesn't have one. He has no, by the way, he has no perfect book, and he wants you to believe you don't either. Why? Because then his scholarly brain is your God, and you have to follow him, and you have to believe him, and you have to trust him, right? And not God. Instead, you know, all, guys like William Grady and guys like even Peter Ruckman and other men like him, what do they say to you? Well, it's the Bible. This King James Bible is perfect. It's inspired. It's authority. And you should follow it. And you should believe it above any scholar.
Amen.
Because of the very claims that are in it itself, you should.
Right.
Not to mention all the evidence that we have for it. But they don't do that. Why? They want you to depend on their scholarly understanding. Well, I don't have any of that, so you don't have to worry about me getting you to depend on that. I believe it's very simple. I want you to fall upon this book right here, and I want you to your everything to be in this book right here. I want you to believe this book here. I want you to trust what God's Word says right here. I want you to go to it for everything you need here. I want your dependence to be upon God's Word, not on me. I want to help you as a pastor, but I can only help you so far. I can't do what God's Word can do for you.
Amen.
Amen? That's God's Word has the answer. It's where everything is answered. I think that's where your all should be. Not in history, not in the sands, not in trusting scholarship or anything else. You just simply believe God. You know, the men that did more for God than any other men were the men that just believed what that book said. They saw people get saved. They saw churches planted. They just believed what it said. Men like Schubel Stearns, men like those George Whitfield and John, men like that, they just believed that that was God's Word. They didn't sit around questioning what it was. Well, is this even God's Word? I mean, is this, you sure? They may not have been right about everything they believed that was in it, but they believed in the authority of it. Now men today, they don't even believe in the authority of it. Professing Christians. Acts 18:24. This should be you and I too. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures. Look at that. How was he used so much of God? How was he? Well, he was mighty in the Scriptures. He wasn't mighty in his own might. He wasn't strong in his own eyes. He was mighty in the Scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the Spirit. It means he had a lot of passion and drive and desire. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. In other words, they showed him everything Paul showed him. Showed them, right? Well, Paul gave them and showed them and explained to them, they showed him. And when he was disposed to pass into Chai, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. We talked about that this week, didn't we? They exhorted him, you receive Apollos.
Amen.
Who when he was come, help them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews. Mightily convinced the Jews. How? Well, go back to that verse. What was he? Mighty in the Scriptures. He mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. I don't have to prove the case for an historic Jesus. I don't have to do that. What do? I prove with the Scriptures, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ.
Amen.
I do the same thing. You do the same thing because you have the Scriptures. He mightily convinced them. If you would convince men, it must be by the Scriptures that they are the power of God. That's it. Romans chapter 1, 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. God promised before by his prophets, he tells you exactly how, in the Holy Scriptures. Same ones you have. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 4, verse number 3. Now you're going to get into the present tense of some things. Paul's going to show you that the Scriptures are alive, right? Romans 4, 3. For what saith the Scripture? Present tense, right? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Romans 9:17. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that by my name might be declared throughout that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. By the way, you think Pharaoh spoke Hebrew? No. Or did Moses speak Egyptian? And did Moses record it in Hebrew? There you have an inspired translation right there. Right? Because what happened? Well, Pharaoh spoke in Egyptian language, right? He was speaking that dialect. And Moses, being raised in Pharaoh's house, would speak the same language. Wouldn't he? Well, that sure wasn't Hebrew. But he recorded that Egyptian language in what? Hebrew.
Amen.
He translated it. Amen. That'll make you think for a little bit. But that's right there in the Scriptures, isn't it? Romans chapter 9, verse number 17. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Romans 10:11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Romans 11:2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. What saith the Scriptures, right? What the Scripture saith of Elias. What does the Scripture say? They still speak today. The same lessons, the same things for you to understand. This is why men are still being saved, because of the Scriptures. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul wrote that. Paul believed that. We believe that. Romans 15, verse 4 through 6. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That's the Scriptures, by the way. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. He says, number one, the Scriptures were written for our learning. That includes the Old Testament. It's written for our learning. For us to learn. Number two, by the way, written for our learning. That's us. We're included with that. That's what Paul is saying. Number two, the Scriptures bring patience and comfort and hope. You see that? This book, if you want comfort, if you want patience and comfort and hope, you get it from this book. If you're trying, again, I'm going to warn you, if you're trying to get it anywhere else, you're not going to get it as a Christian. This is where it comes from. This is where it will come from. Always, it will come from this. It will never come. Lasting and powerful comfort and hope will not come from your husband giving you a hug. All right? Though that helps, and that's good, and he ought to do that, right? And a wife ought to console her husband, and a father and a mother ought to console their children, and we ought to console one another when it's necessary and appropriate and when we need each other. But listen, it's the Scriptures. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So number one, to learn. And that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Patience and comfort. All trials are not over right away. That's why God gives us the Scriptures to comfort us. And then that experience that we gain from that gives us hope. So we get that from the Scriptures, though. You know what carries us through those hard times? Obviously, it's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but it's also His Word. Comfort comes from the Word. That's where we get it from. It's supernatural. And if you try a different recipe, it's going to taste awful. And it's not going to work. It is this book. It is these Scriptures that I preach unto you. These Scriptures are the ones that give comfort and hope. How in the world could I preach anything different to you and say on one hand that I believe this is the Word of God, but then tell you that it has errors or mistakes or it's not perfect? How in the world is that going to give anybody any comfort? I don't understand it. I wouldn't believe a thing they said if they said that to me. Because how could you have comfort and hope in something that wasn't complete? See, that God's promises are full. God's promises are fulfilled. God's promises are true. They are right, and they never fail. That's why we have to believe what He says about His Word. So then I have to have these Scriptures that were given by inspiration, that are inspired by God, in order that I might be able to have those things that God promised me. Romans 16:25-27. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. You know what establishes you or establishes you and makes you solid and strong? The gospel. According to my gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ. That also does it, right? When you need further establishing and settled and to be settled in your heart and to be settled on matters. It is the preaching of Jesus Christ. And what does Paul say? According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. This King James Bible is a fulfillment of that prophecy. Made known unto all nations. This King James Bible. These words, these perfect words in English right here. This is the fulfillment of that promise. All nations. Think about that. Published. God promised He was going to do it. So all the way over here in the United States of America, we're preaching this. Carl told me, Mary is from the Philippines, and Carl told me that English is the secondary language of the Philippines. It really made me interested in church planning when he said that to me, too, because he said their secondary language over there is English, and they're taught English in all their schools over there. Right? That's good. What does that mean? So most of those people read the King James Bible. If they read the Bible, because they all speak English. Well, that's weird. Why would they all speak English over there? Why are they taught English over there all the way in the Philippines right there? And all you have all these people and these poor people. They don't have money. They don't have, but they've got Bibles and they can read the Word of God and they can read it in plain English. Huh. You suppose God knew that the secondary language of the Philippines would be English? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we know he knew that, didn't he? Verse 27 says, "To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The death, burial, and resurrection were all prefigured in the Old Testament in types and shadows and in figures. And that's why Christ taught them all things that were written in the Scriptures concerning Him. And Paul does the same thing. Before they had the Gospels and before they had the completed New Testament, right? Before that, they had the Scriptures. They still had them. The Gospel was given by direct revelation to Paul from Christ. But their Scriptures were Paul's authority for all that he did. He still used the Scriptures. How about Galatians chapter 3, verse number 8? I love how Paul speaks of the Scriptures as alive, right? The Scriptures speak. The Scriptures foresee events before they happen. He said this in Galatians 3:8, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Amen. That's that figure that he had given, that like figure, right, that he had given him, that he had showed him. But they foresee these events that would take place. Galatians 3:22. Look at this. This is present tense as well. "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." The Scriptures hath, present tense, concluded, determined. That word means determined. It's because this book is alive. It has power. It is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged. That quick means alive. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That word quick is alive.
Right.
And you know it's alive when that Bible is preached to you and it pierces through to your heart. And it affects you. I don't mean just for salvation. I mean for sanctification and growing in grace. When you and I are wrong with God and that word is preached to us, or we're reading our devotions and God is convicting us over our sin and over some things that we're not doing right or something that's wrong, that word, it pierces our hearts. And it's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? That's the living Word of God. It has power. It has power to give life. Amen. That's why you have to have... That's why... By the way, do you know why? Paul says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper." Because it has to be to save you. It has to be to it has to be. We talk about God breathed as and I don't have a problem with using that term for inspiration or whatever, because that's nothing wrong with that, right? We just have to explain it a little bit better than what it's been explained, isn't it? Because it's not explained right. It's like God ran out of breath. The way they explain it now is that God started running, he breathed, and he ran out of breath. So you ain't got no, there ain't no breath of God left. That's how they try to explain it.
Yeah, come on.
They say, well, God ran out of breath in the Hebrew and the Greek.
Yeah, come on.
He stopped breathing when it was translated into English. Well, come on, man. Either you believe it or you don't.
Right. Come on.
Because you ain't going to convince me of it.
Right.
It didn't run out of no breath for me. Right? God still breathes. This word breathes life into me. I'm telling you what, I've been dead on the floor before, and this word has picked me up off the floor. That's the power. That's the power of God. That's life. It is God breathed, and God didn't, it didn't lose any of its breath. God didn't lose any of his breath. Nor his ability to give knowledge, revelation, and understanding to translate it into English like it was done for the perfect, infallible words that you have before you. Amen. God worked with those men. Man, that's eerie for some people. I don't know why. What would be eerie for me is if you didn't believe that. Don't you think it'd be weird if you told me that just some cold, formal scholars came together, translated this book, and God's Spirit had nothing to do with it? Well, then you'd have like an NIV. You'd have Origins Works. You'd have the critical text. That's what you'd have. You would have a man-made philosophy. Right? But you don't have that. Why? Because God did this. By the way, if God, I want to help you with something. Even if, and I thank God they were good scholars, but let's just say they were dumb fishermen. Could a bunch of dumb fishermen have translated this into English?
Yep.
God's holy words into English? Yeah. If he wanted them to, they could have. Now that takes faith to believe.
Yeah.
And I believe it. He chose to use the men that he did. Thank God. But he could have used anybody. He said he could use rocks if he wanted to.
Right.
Man, do you believe that?
Yep.
Man, I do. Because he said it. Well, you're one of those people, huh? Yeah, I'm one of those people. I'm definitely one of those people.
Yep.
Jesus said that the rocks would cry out. He could raise up stones, he said. And he did. Lively stones. That'll mess with them, won't it? That's right. That's right. It is the faith of Jesus Christ. That's right. I agree, brother. See, we believe these things to be true. We just do. We're settled on it. I am anyway. I say we. I'm hoping you are too. But I'm saying that because I believe that you are. But I'm hoping you come along. If you're not yet, we want to help you with it, right? But we're settled on it.
Right.
We're settled. I'm already in. All in. Already all in. So and I've never cared what anybody thought before when it comes to that, and I won't care later if I lose friends over it because my position is too extreme or whatever. Well, okay. I've been told that before about a number of things, and I just keep going. But either you're going to believe God or you're not.
Right.
Man, I'll tell you what. See, God led me to preach on this years later after he put me through some things when I had to feast on this word and live on it completely to survive. Just to get up every day. You may think I'm exaggerating. I'm not. I'm not exaggerating to you. I'm not, like, not even a little bit. I'm not exaggerating a little bit. God literally used this word to keep me going every day. Because I felt as if I was dead. I wasn't. I was more alive than I had ever been. But it sure felt like it, and I couldn't trust my feelings. But God said, I'm going to make you completely dependent on this. And guess what? So then when you go to study this, and you've already believed it was the Word of God, and you've already experienced the goodness of God through it, you've seen it, man, you can face down any of those people that look at you funny because you just believe God's Word. You don't even care. Like, I don't care what you say. I know that if it wasn't for this book, I'd be dead. Plain and simple. I already know what it's done. I already know what it is, so you won't talk me out of it, and you won't shame me with it either. You really believe that? You really believe it's inspired and perfect? Yeah. If I didn't, I know for sure I couldn't do this.
Right.
Do you understand that? Like, I know for sure I couldn't preach. Because I would have no absolute standard for anything that I did.
Right.
Do you know what great... See, you know what God has changed with me over the years with this? What he changed with me is he said, okay, you know, you've always had some confidence. Well, he let me use that for a while. And I mean, it's not that I didn't depend on God, but he let me grow in confidence in some things. And then God said, okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to mature you. So we're going to go ahead and deflate that bag. And we're going to just deflate that confidence. And your only confidence is going to be here. It's going to be right here. You're going to mature and you're going to grow and you're going to learn to depend on me for everything. You're going to continue to, no matter how dark it gets, and you're going to believe this book. And you're going to be dependent on this book. And you're going to believe it's everything. Right? There's power in that. And when you're confident, then you can stand and you can, because you believe, I'm not the absolute standard. God is.
Amen.
I'm going to fail. I don't want to, but I'm going to at times. But God's word will never fail. The scriptures cannot be broken. Amen? So, Galatians chapter 3, verse number 22. Oh, we did that one, excuse me. Verse number 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the gospel, right? By the scriptures we see that. Galatians 4:30. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. It's a lot of speaking there to us, isn't it? 1 Timothy 5:18. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child. You know, that's our desire for you, children in this room. And that from a child.
Amen.
And that from a child. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That from a child. Down here, learning. Right? Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, do I have them or not? How do you preach to children and tell them that you don't know if they have the perfect words of God or not? Well, I'm an all or nothing person when it comes to that. It's like, either you have it all or you don't. Either you believe it all or you don't. Either your faith is in God and His Word and His promises, or it's not. But ours is in the Word. And these are the Scriptures. And Jesus said these Scriptures they're alive. And they're inspired. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Number one, thou hast known them. Number two, they are able to make thee wise unto salvation. As a child. You know, he's speaking as a child, right? So children can be saved. Children should be saved. God wants children to be saved. God wants you young children, if you've never seen your lost condition before God and never repented and put your faith and trust in Christ, God wants you to do that. He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. And these scriptures prove that, and they show that Jesus died for your sins. And you don't need to go out and live a hellion life and then try to come back to God. You may not make it back. You may die and go to a devil's hell. You're not promised anything. If you betray the truth that you've received, you could die. Your life could end quickly. God never promised any of you children that you would live to be 70 years old. He hasn't promised any of us that. that we would live that long. You don't know when your last days are going to be. Don't flirt with eternity. Don't flirt with eternity in hell. Don't play games with God. If you're lost and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you better do that today. Don't you wait for anything. You trust the Lord. You believe God's Word. His Word is able to make thee wise unto salvation. And if you're under the sound of my voice, then He came to save you. And He gives that gospel message to you that you must repent and believe the gospel. The Bible says that God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. You ought to repent and believe the gospel while you still may, before your foolish heart is darkened and the world takes you and deceives you and teaches you perverse things and tries to lead you away from the truth. Choose you this day whom you will serve. God's Word brings us to a choice, brings us to a place, the Scriptures do, that you must repent and believe the gospel. And if you don't repent, hell awaits. The judgment of God awaits. Not because God hates you. No, because you rejected the love of the truth that you might be saved. And you may fall for strong delusion and believe a lie. The best way for that not to happen is to fall on your knees and repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, asking Jesus to forgive your sins and cleanse you of your unrighteousness. Because you are lost and dead in sins without Jesus, and you're in trouble with God, because you're the enemy of God. You here sitting in this room, if you've rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are the enemy of God. Now, because God is love, He sends His ambassadors to His enemies and bids them to repent. For a peace to come, you must repent and believe the gospel. You must turn to Christ and believe that He died for your sins and that He was buried and that He rose again from the dead for your sins. Not just for your brothers or your sisters or for somebody else's or for the preachers, but for your sins. That your sins make you... Your sins are upon your soul. And you're guilty before God. And you're dead in those sins. And if you die in those sins die upon you. And you, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God has not spiritually circumcised you. He has not separated you with that sword, that double-edged sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword, right? That's what the two-edged sword does. It separates your soul. And He gives you the Spirit and He seals you unto the day of redemption. But if you are not saved, your sins are upon you. Every sin you commit presses you deeper and deeper into the pit of hell. Heaps up and heaps up and heaps up against God. Till there's nothing left but hell and damnation and destruction. But God in His mercy brought you up in a family and allowed you to be in a place where the gospel will be preached to you. Don't turn your back on the grace of God and don't turn your back on the truth. But embrace it. God will forgive your sins. He will cleanse you of your unrighteousness. He'll teach you how to love Him. He'll teach you how to care for Him. You don't know how to love God. You can't until you're saved. You never will learn how to love God as a lost person because lost people can't love God. Their heart is totally depraved. We were all there before. Hearts bent on deception and depravity. But then when Jesus saves you, He gives you a new heart. So you're able to serve Him and follow Him. Some of you are trying to follow God lost, and you're not going to have any victory like that. You're trying to get your emotions and your desires and everything to line up with the Scriptures. Oh, that'll never do. It'll never happen. You can't. You can't change you. And it's such pride and arrogancy that you think that you can change you. That you think that you can make yourself better in the flesh. That you think that you can make yourself acceptable to God. You can never make yourself acceptable to God. Jesus is who makes you acceptable to God. Jesus died for your sins. He died for your evil, wicked heart and your rejection of Him. He died for that. So He might change you and make you a new creature. He not only died, but He rose again from the dead to give you life and to give it more abundantly. You cannot change you. You'll die in your sins if you try. I tried to do that. I tried to live the Christian life lost. Miserable life it was, trying to do that. Couldn't do that. Didn't have the power of God. Tried to do it. Couldn't do it. Failed miserably. But then when Jesus saved my soul, when he brought me to a place of repentance and faith, showed me I was lost and dead in sins. Then he raised me up and he resurrected my old rotten self and made a new man out of me and gave me the Spirit of God, and he gave me life everlasting, and he taught me how to follow his word. He gave me the Spirit to follow his word. Some of you want it without having Jesus, and you'll never have it. You can't make yourself like that. You can't make yourself a Christian. You are made a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, by the new birth. It is Jesus that will make you good. You will make hell for yourself. Jesus will make you righteous by his righteousness. By his stripes you are healed. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture, number one, they are given by inspiration, not was given, but are given. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? Is. If it's scripture, it's inspired. Amen. Number two, scripture is profitable for doctrine. That word doctrine is teaching. To teach you the way in which you should go. Number three, for reproof. That's to blame you to your face. That's to rebuke you, to blame you to your face, and to teach you. For reproof. For correction. To give you proper correction when you need it. And by the way, if you're rejecting the will of God, if God has showed you something, if God has guided you and he has taught you and he has showed you that it is his will for something, and you're not happy with it, and you're allowing yourself to be taken by that, and you're discouraged by it because God has said no to you, or God has done something that you don't like and that you're not comfortable with, and you dread that and you don't like that, God is correcting you. He is teaching you that you're not going to do that. You need to submit to his will. And he will correct you. He will correct your error. He will correct your bad attitude. He will correct what you're doing, what you and I do. He will correct us. But not only does he correct us, which is the same thing that you're supposed to take for your children, you're supposed to teach them good doctrine, right? You're supposed to reprove them. You're supposed to correct them. But you know what else you're supposed to do for your children? Not just correct their errors, but you're supposed to instruct them in righteousness. You and I not only show people when they are wrong, we instruct them of how to be right. Don't ever tell somebody how wrong they are if you're not willing to instruct them to do right. Because all you're going to do is just discourage them. You ought to show them what they're wrong and show them what the right thing is to do. That's what you ought to do. You ought to correct them. You ought to reprove them. You ought to correct them. And you ought to instruct them in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect. That is that God wants you to come to maturity. That's what that word means. Maturity. In this sense. He wants you to be mature. Well, what matures me? God's words. If I didn't have the inspired, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Well, the only scripture that's gonna mature me in that way is God's word. Is the scriptures. They're gonna mature me. Some of us just have to grow up in different areas of our walk and of our life. We have to grow up. We're being immature. And it's the Word of God that matures us, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. That's completely furnished with everything, thoroughly, in and out, furnished with everything that you need unto all good works for the new life that God has given you. Do you see, Jesus gave you, when he saved your soul, he gave you his Holy Ghost. And when he gave you the Holy Ghost, he sealed you unto the day of redemption with that Holy Ghost. And he gave you a book. And he says, now live by this, and mature by this, and grow by this, to maturity and perfection, for the new life that I have given you. So God, he not only gave you a new life, he opened up the book to you. And he says, this is how you're supposed to live. This book. This King James Bible, this one in your hands is how you're supposed to live. This, for everything in your life until you go home, these are the instructions until you go home. These are it. And you're never supposed to be without your sword. Because you're on enemy territory. James 2:8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. By the way, you're to love your neighbor and you're to love your enemies. Amen. You know how you love your neighbor and you love your enemies? One of the ways is you instruct them and show them the truth. If somebody's wrong about something, that you show them what's right. That's loving them. That's being loving towards them. Right? James chapter 2, verse number 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. And the scripture was fulfilled. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Imputed. It's given by God. And he was called the friend of God. We're almost done here. We'll save the other lesson on inspiration that I have that I'm going to read you here. We'll save this for another time here, but we will get to it. We'll probably get to it in the afternoon sometime because it's a very good chapter. I want to read it to you because, number one, all of you don't have this book right here. I know that. And even if you did, you probably wouldn't read it anyway because you don't have time all the time to do that. So it's difficult. But if I could read it to you and I believe it's profitable, and it is, I want to read it to you, right? I want to help you and instruct you. And give you some, it will be helpful to you to understand. So we'll have another lesson on that inspiration. We won't be done yet with that. And we'll really kind of tackle that a little bit more in another lesson here for next week, probably. But I enjoy talking about the scriptures. I hope you do. I hope you do. It's strengthening. These things are strengthening. God promised they would be. This is equipping you. This is equipping you to fight the right way, to fight the right battles. James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? There's no vanity in giving the scriptures, right? It doesn't say anything in vain. When God says something in this book, people are like, I want God to speak to me. Okay, well, Paul says and James says and the apostles say and Jesus say, the scriptures saith. This is how God speaks to you.
Right.
Stop looking for something else. Stop looking for like warm, fuzzy feelings and voices in your head. That's what people on psychedelics do. Amen? That is what they do. They're waiting for voices in their head. That's people that ate too many pot brownies. That's what they're looking for is voices, right? That's people that are in Salish Islands, they're waiting for voices, right? Yeah, exactly. God says, Jesus said, if you want to hear the scriptures, they speak. They're, open it up. I want to hear from God. Well, open the Bible.
Yep. Right. Amen.
I want to hear from God. I need wisdom from God. Well, how did he tell you to get it? Oh, well, that's kind of simple. I mean, I was looking for something like, you know, a voice coming down from heaven and like pink elephants flying around and like, you know, what's that? Yeah, seeing Jesus in the cornflakes. I was looking for all that. Yeah, I know, because it's a lot easier to look for all that than it is to open up the book.
Right.
That God has provided for you. It's a lot easier, isn't it? No, it's a lot less convicting.
Right.
It's not that you might want to hear from God, but you sometimes don't want to know what he has to say to you.
That's right.
Right. We sometimes don't want to know what he has to actually say to us sometimes. Like, oh. Maybe I don't want to hear what he has to say to me. Well, when you keep it closed, you definitely don't. Amen. Or you don't think you need it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. Peter says it again. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. you believe on Jesus, you won't be confounded. Amen? You won't be. You might be mighty confused at times about a number of things, but you won't be confounded. You'll know who he is. 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, what does that mean, private interpretation? What it means is I'm not allowed to take the Scriptures and I'm not allowed to twist the Scriptures or use them deceitfully and have a private interpretation and control people or have them do things that are unbiblical. Right? To twist the Scriptures. Like we were talking about Brother Paul and we were all talking, Brother Joshua, I think we were talking about the cults and the different things that are, and they take, what do they do? Some of them twist the Scriptures around to make them say what they wanted to say, right? And Paul said those are people that use the Word of God deceitfully.
Right.
Well, you're not to do that. You just preach them plainly. You don't get a private interpretation that's different than than what the Scriptures consistently teach. Yeah, if you have an interpretation of a verse that is against the main teaching of Scripture throughout, you have a problem with your interpretation.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a problem there. And that's why I have a problem with people that don't believe that these Scriptures are inspired.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that. Because Jesus said they were. Paul said they were. The apostles said they were. Amen. 2 Peter 3:15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They wrestle them out of context, right? They wrestle them. As they do also the other Scriptures under their own destruction. So Peter is saying that Paul's writings and Paul's epistles are the Scriptures. And by the way, most of the time anyone has a problem with the New Testament, it comes down to Paul's authority. If they like feminism, if they like women preachers, they got something bad to say about Paul. If they want to teach a replacement theology, or if they want to teach something that is a church state, then they're going to have a problem with Paul, because Paul's going to correct that. See, everything, most of those things Paul would correct, and he instructs in all of those epistles, because the Bible says that Paul was given the mystery of the revelation. It was given unto him, and he was to feed the churches. That's plain as day. So what we see Jesus say, what we say the prophets say, and if Paul repeats and he teaches to the churches, that is Bible doctrine for you and I to hold to and to hold, right, and to follow. Why? Because God gave him the revelation. God gave it to him clearly and plainly. There's nothing, I don't have a problem with that. People might call that dispensationalism. I don't care what you call it. It's Bible. It's just truth. Who's the apostle to the Gentiles? Who's the one that wrote all the epistles to teach the churches what they were supposed to do? Who did God do? Who did God anoint to do that? And who did God teach as one out of due time appear to him and to teach him? Plain as day. Hard to argue with, isn't it? That's not wrong teaching. There's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly what his mission was. That's what he was sent to do. Right? And he had the Scriptures. And he believed he had the Scriptures. And his writings were the Scriptures. Amen? So, when these Scriptures are being written out, and he's given these epistles to those churches, they didn't all have the same copy. So they had different copies. Was only one of them inspired? Or were they all inspired? They were all inspired. Because God uses copies and translations. That's what he uses. Especially when it's correctly done. And God's hand is in it. And clearly with this King James Bible, that's been proven. Right? But we believe it by faith. We also know that it's the only one that's shot at. It's acceptable for you to use anything else but this book right here. They've been trying to get this book out of people's hands for the last 200 years, especially strongly the last 200 years. They've been trying to talk them out of this book for 200 years. And the question you have to ask yourself is, why? Why this book? Why not another one? Why this one? Because there is none like it. That's why. It's in a class of its own. And God made it that way. And God did that work. All right. We'll stop for now here, but good scriptures to go through and to understand. We'll pick up more on inspiration in the King James Bible. And, when we write a few things on our website for it, I will be sure to make sure that people, and we do have that on our sermon audio page, that the King James Bible is our authority for all that we do. But I'll be very clear about that. So then there's no confusion. We'll make it real clear. It needs to be. And people say, oh, wow, they believe that. Yep. Yep. We believe it's perfect. Amen. That's the promise of God. We hold to it. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for eternal life through Christ. Lord, please speak to the hearts of those that are lost, that have never been saved. They've never come to Christ. They've never been forgiven of their sins and cleansed of their unrighteousness. May they come to Christ and be saved today. May they see their lost condition. Know that Christ is the only one that can save them. And Lord, thank you for saving my soul 21 years ago. Thank you for doing that mighty work. Thank you for saving the others here. Help us to be good witnesses of the manifold grace of God. Help us to preach and teach the gospel to all men. Help us to warn the righteous and warn the wicked. Help us to be faithful to your words. Help us this week, Lord, to be good Christian testimonies in our lives. Help us to lift up your word, have reverence and respect for it, and to grow thereby. Bless us and bring us back safely. Be with the sick that are among us, Lord. Aaron and Rachel and their children, Lord, who are sick, we pray that you'd heal them and bring them back to us safely. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.